This is Jennifer Lawrence from Old Chatham, and you are listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Ketty on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henning's Local Test Kitchen in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Columbia Green Community College started the fall semester on September 6th with a 5% increase in enrollment since last year. Columbia Green President Carly Drummer credited the enrollment increase to new curriculum programs the school launched in time for the 2022-2023 school year. She said, quote, "The college has several exciting new programs, including the cannabis retail and sales micro-credentials and the police basic training certificate. In addition, the flagship programs in nursing and transfer programs in psychology and individual studies remain solidly enrolled. We're all very optimistic about these trends," unquote. Drummer said the referenced enrollment increase reflects the statistics for the first day of classes, but the final enrollment numbers will not be known until October. In the lead-up to the start of the fall semester, the Greenport-based community college hosted its first in-person student orientation in 3 years. More than half of the school's class offerings are being offered in person this year, but scheduling options for students who prefer online classes are still being accommodated. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Common Cause website is tracking Congress members' votes on democracy-related legislation at the Democracy Scoreboard. Democratic Representative Paul Tonko of the 20th Congressional District gets the best score locally. Tonko voted for all 18 democracy-related legislations tracked here and co-sponsored 4 of the bills. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican from the 21st Congressional District, only voted for 1 of the 18 bills tracked, the Courthouse Ethics and Transparency Act. Democrat Representative Sean Maloney, currently representing the 18th Congressional District, got a 16 out of 18 score, while there is no score for the 19th Congressional District after Antonio Delgado resigned and recently elected fill-in Pat Ryan has yet to cast a vote. The website says, and I quote, Common Cause does not endorse or oppose candidates. We simply provide constituents the facts about how your delegation voted, so you and the people you share this nonpartisan tool can make an informed and comprehensive evaluation of your legislator's performance, end quote. See Democracy Scoreboard for more information.
Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that three Democrats will be on the ballot for the November Queeman's town election. Former town clerk Cindy Rousey and Ron Hodling are running for the two open seats on the town board, and Peter DeLuke is running for highway superintendent. At the party caucus in July, there were no nominations for town clerk and town justice, so the Republican nominees are running unopposed. The town board and highway superintendent positions, as well as the town clerk slot, are vacant after those elected officials stepped down. Rousey served as town clerk for 4 years before unsuccessfully running for town supervisor in 2021. Quote, I have lived in this community for 11 years. I want to use the experience I have gained in working for local municipalities to make a difference on the Queeman's Town Board, unquote. Her platform includes the implementation of a new ethics law and transparency in government. Rousey was one of the organizers to successfully file a petition to put the proposed $7 million town hall project on the ballot in November. Hodling is a lifelong resident of Queeman's, said he also wants to see more transparency in local government. Quote, living in the town of Queeman's, the majority of my life I have served this community in many ways, such as youth sports, local EMS, and sitting on my church parish council, to name a few, unquote, Hodling said. He's calling for open government and fiscal responsibility. Quote, we need more things for the youth and open collaboration between the village and the town. I want an out-in-the-open government, unquote, Hodling said. He agreed the current town hall building has outlived its useful life, but questioned the process and wanted additional information to be shared with the community. Peter DeLuke is running for highway superintendent to fill the vacancy created by the retirement of longtime superintendent Scott Searles. Quote, I am ready to serve the public and listen to their needs while working with the town board to budget for all phases of operations for the highway and beautification departments, unquote, DeLuke said. Quote, I will use my experience from my current position at New York State Department of Transportation to bring some of today's technology and programs to the town, unquote. The general election ends on November 8th this year. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Dara Gregorian and Tom Winter report for NBC News that former advisor to President Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, was charged with money laundering and conspiracy in a fraud case in New York on September 8th. Bannon had similar federal charges leveled against him in August 2020, but was later pardoned by then-President Trump. But the pardon only covered federal charges. The states could still indict Bannon, which is what New York did. The fraud alleged was on donations meant to build a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg said Bannon, and I quote, acted as the architect of a multimillion-dollar scheme to defraud thousands of dollars across the country, including hundreds of Manhattan residents. It is a crime to turn a profit by lying to donors, and in New York, you will be held accountable, end quote. Bannon said, and I quote, this is nothing more than a partisan political weaponization of the criminal justice system, end quote.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that forest rangers responded over the weekend to two separate calls for injured hikers, one who was found just feet from the edge of Catterskull Falls. Greene County 911 contacted the rangers on the afternoon of September 3rd about a person with an unstable lower leg injury on the Mary's Glen Trail. Rangers responded along with rescue crews and located a 32-year-old woman from Washington, D.C., splintered her injured ankle, gave her crutches, and helped carry her to a waiting ambulance that transported her to Kingston Hospital. On the morning of September 4th, Greene County 911 contacted rangers with a report of a person falling from the top of Catterskill Falls. When the rangers responded, they located a 22-year-old man from New Jersey with an unstable right ankle injury. He was found at the top of Catterskill Falls in the creek, approximately 12 feet from the edge of the 260-foot high falls. After moving the injured person to a safer spot, rangers, Hunter Police, and Hunter Ambulance administered first aid and carried him to the trail. The man was eventually transported to Kingston via ambulance. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Nada Shalas reports in the Times Union about how New York's new package policy is affecting incarcerated individuals. The Department of Corrections and Community Supervision announced earlier this year that in New York, family and friends can no longer bring care packages during visits to incarcerated loved ones or mail them directly to correctional facilities in order to improve prison security. Instead, packages can only be mailed from approved vendors, including the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS. Rinda Stetson Shanahan, incarcerated at Mid-State Correctional Facility in Marcy, misses the packages his mother brought him. He said in an email to the Times Union, and I quote, "She made the packages lovingly, always trying to add something different and surprising. I do not believe the new policy will result in a significant change to the influx of contraband, nor do I believe the packages were ever the primary or secondary mode of introducing contraband to the facilities," end quote. Priscilla Echevarria de Supervlada, whose husband is incarcerated at Fishkill Correctional Facility in Beacon, said, and I quote, "How are they going to get fresh vegetables, fresh produce, fresh fruit? In transit, it's going to get rotten," end quote. Cooked meat, for instance, is now effectively banned by the policy. A similar package ban in 2018 was later retracted after a public backlash. Officials from the Department of Corrections and Community declined to be interviewed for this story, but DOCE's spokesperson, Nicole Shermetta, referred to a statement saying the package ban, and I quote, "was driven by the increasing number of packages found to contain contraband drugs and weapons," end quote. The department also said, and I quote, "it is inaccurate to label this a package ban," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 84 degrees. And Sunday night, patchy fog after 2 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, September 9th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, WGXC.org, including at 10 a.m. it's time for the Global Agogo Show with 2020 new music today from Johan Silva, Sonido Gala Negro, and the Alama Project, among others. Jared Wiggershut is live from Hudson in the WGXC studio in the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street at noon after the local news with the Sugar Shack Jukebox. And then A.M. Philip Kowski is the featured artist on the Data Cult audio show at 2 p.m. on 90.7 FM. At 4 p.m., the WGXC afternoon show is live from Acre. At 6 p.m., Clubhouse Radio features teenagers live from Main Street in Catskill, playing their music and talking about their issues on Clubhouse Radio. And then we've got different teens in Hudson at 7 p.m. talking about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show with the Hudson Area Library. 2 hours of local music at 8 p.m. with Hudson Valley Sounds. And at 10 p.m., DJ Shavar is back with the Friday Night Vibe session on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page.
and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics voice samples and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Ketty on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. We start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the lowest price is $3.86 a gallon at the Citgo in South Caro currently. Then we look at the air quality forecast. It's even better than on Thursday, which was a 12. It's down to 9, which is in the good range. Can't say the same about the UV index. That is predicted to be a 7 on Friday. That's in the high range, and you're recommended to wear a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and a SPF 30 sunscreen if you're out in the open for long. National Weather Service in Albany says Friday should be sunny, good for local solar panels, with a high of 78 and a low around 55. Saturday should also be sunny, with a high of 81 and a southeast wind around 5 miles per hour spinning local windmills, with a low around 59 on Saturday night. Sunday should be mostly cloudy, with a high of 77 and a low around 59. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the McPees of East Hampton, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to.
Thank you.
Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
KZMB, All Zombie Radio.
I thought it would be fun to take a look at how Donald Trump spent his summer vacation.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
On June 3rd, Donald Trump departed Mar-a-Lago for his other golf course / catering hall / crime lair, Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey, where he watched his former aide, Cassidy Hutchison, testify against him. She said, among other things, he physically attacked one of his own Secret Service agents and threw his lunch at the wall, smearing ketchup all over the presidential dining room. July 14th, Trump lost his beloved ex-wife, Ivana, and buried her at his golf course right near the first hole, which was also his nickname for her.
Tell me more.
Trump hosted the Saudi-backed LIV golf tournament where he flattered his despicable guests by saying he wasn't sure who was responsible for 9/11, but definitely wasn't them. August 8th, we got a look at photographic evidence showing Trump did, in fact, tear up official White House documents and flush them down the official White House toilet.
Summer sun, something's begun, but the summer night.
That same day, the FBI searched Mar-a-Lago and found an all-you-can-read classified documents bar featuring hundreds of pages of top-secret government intel and a box of framed covers of Time magazine with his face on them, because you can't have security without insecurity. Trump gave a deposition to the New York Attorney General, pleading the Fifth more than 440 times, which is what all not guilty people do.
Tell me more, tell me more.
This weekend, Trump ended his summer at a rally for the soon-to-be-unemployed Senate hopeful and penis pill pusher, Dr. Oz.
Told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love vow.
Wonder what she is doing now. Summer dreams ripped at seams. But
the summer now.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The future is, as ever, obscure. The only certainty is that it will present the world with new and daunting problems. But if we continue to stick to our fundamental ideals, I have every confidence that we can resolve them.
Queen Elizabeth II of Britain addressing a joint meeting of Congress during a visit to the U.S. in 1991. Following news of the Queen's death on Thursday, President Joe Biden canceled his planned remarks on coronavirus boosters. The Department of Justice said Thursday it will appeal a Florida federal judge's decision to appoint a third party to examine documents seized by the FBI from Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Trump's Save America PAC is now also being investigated by the DOJ. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen touted the Biden administration's economic policies during a visit to the Ford Motor Company's Electric Vehicle Center in Michigan on Thursday.
I believe firmly they will help us achieve stable, sustainable growth, and they'll move us toward a fairer and more resilient economy.
Biden travels to Ohio today to attend the groundbreaking of a new Intel microchip factory. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke at the National Baptist Convention's 142nd annual session, where she urged people of faith to defend the country's democratic values.
For me and President Joe Biden, faith guides our work every day. So I will say to the National Baptist Convention, we know deeply that when people of faith come together, anything is possible.
After an investigation found the e-cigarette maker Juul Labs deliberately targeted young people using a variety of marketing practices, 34 states will collectively receive more than $438 million as part of a court settlement. Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti says in addition to explicit advertising to kids, the company is required to stop even so-called subtle forms of marketing through social media and other avenues.
Such as funding education programs, which let them put their name and the existence of their product in front of kids. They're not allowed to use people under the age of 35 in their marketing, so they can't pay influencers. They can't use celebrities who are younger, who appeal to younger people.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're headed to the home of Area 51, Nye County, Nevada, where conspiracy theories of another type, election fraud, have driven out the county's Republican chief election official. The Associated Press reports that Sandra Merlino has stepped down from her post after over 20 years of service, citing the public's persistent disbelief that elections have been conducted properly and personal attacks by local election deniers. Back in March, a special county commission meeting was organized by a group of citizens who, following the disinformation spread by President Donald Trump's campaign legal team and others, called into question the security and accuracy of the Dominion voting system tabulators used in the 2020 election. Out-of-state witnesses were brought in, further seeding doubt, after which the commission voted unanimously to count an estimated 20,000 ballots by hand for the June 2022 primary. As with everywhere else in the country, no significant evidence of fraud or election hacking was ever found in Nye County. President Donald Trump was elected in Nye County with 69% of the vote. On June 21st, the state court in Delaware ruled that the defamation lawsuits against Fox News parent company filed by Dominion Voting Systems and rival Smartmatic could move forward. Several other lawsuits are pending against former President Trump's allies and other news organizations. Read the AP story and get connected with the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready?
Another one bites the dust.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm pleased to welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine Mary Beth Hansinger, who's the president of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Capital Region, New York. That's NAMI for short. On the occasion of Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month, which is this month, how serious a problem is suicide?
It's a second leading cause of death among people ages 10 to 14, and the third leading cause of death among people aged 15 and 24 in the United States. It's the 12th leading cause of death overall in the United States.
So we've just been talking about rates of completed suicide, but of course many more people entertain thoughts of suicide without completing suicide. How prevalent are serious thoughts of suicide?
You might be surprised at how many young people seriously think about suicide in a given year. Do you know 18.8% of high school students think of suicide seriously? And the higher yet is 45% of LGBTQ youth think seriously of completing suicide. The lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth are nearly four times more likely to attempt suicide than a straight youth. And transgender adults are nearly nine times more likely to attempt suicide than the general population.
What are the warning signs?
The biggest warning sign is giving away treasured mementos or things in their life. And as far as a lot of times you'll see, as far as you'll either see someone really depressed or someone that is really in what you would think is a good spot after a depression because of the fact that they have their means decided.
They had made the decision to go ahead, and that gave them a feeling of being settled in a way that endlessly wondering whether or not to do it couldn't give them.
Exactly. Yes.
And so these are warning signs that it's about to happen. But of course, if someone is suffering a great deal before they start having made up their mind and start giving away their treasured things, what else can we be looking for?
Really looking for someone that is really seems destitute, just hopeless. That's one of the biggest warning signs that someone may think about it.
A sense of hopelessness.
Yeah. They're shutting off from life.
Mm-hmm. If people are worried about someone, what should they do?
The first thing to do is to ask. It never hurts to ask. Are you thinking about suicide? As far as it is shown time and time again that people do not think about it because you ask them the question. So ask them outright. If they say yes, find out, do they have a plan? Is the plan where that it's going to be happening soon? And do they have the means? As far as if it's a plan that's happening really quickly, then you need to get help immediately for that person. You need to stay with them, call 988, let someone know that they're with someone that is thinking about suicide, and get them the help they need. If it's someone that's thinking about it but doesn't have a plan, doesn't have the means, whatever, it may be that they just need to talk. So again, talking with them, but also get some professional help talking to them. Again, I would refer them to 988, or if they're better at texting, contact 741-741. That's a great text line that helps people who are in suicidal thoughts. Get them to their primary care physician if they don't have a mental health provider. Just get them help.
One of the things that you said was, of course, that makes sense to me. Ask them if they have a plan. Are they thinking about it? If you have a plan, are any of these questions down the line likely to make them think about them if they hadn't thought about them before? Like, do you have a plan? Is that going to make people think like, well, yeah, okay, if you're asking for a plan, here's my plan.
Yeah, no, fortunately it doesn't.
Okay.
Usually will tell you the truth,
mm-hmm. and
think of suicide if it wasn't already on their minds.
All righty. So 988 is what?
That's the call center for suicide prevention and crisis intervention for people with a mental health condition. It means as far as instead of calling the police and having the police show up, you're talking to professionals, someone who has knowledge of how to deal with someone with a mental health condition. In crisis, it doesn't mean that you have mental health or mental illness. It may be a condition at the moment.
And this is better than calling the police because the people who handle this line are trained. And then 741-741 is for texting for the same sort of reason?
Yes, it's crisis intervention. And it's where that if someone just can't talk, they can just text and have a conversation through text.
Okay, that's very useful. And I'll put a link to other resources on our website. So just to recap, if someone knows themselves or has a loved one who seems to be suffering from a mental health condition, you've recommended contact your primary care physician. You've already told us what to do in a crisis. In that range of time when it isn't an immediate crisis, to help people before it gets to that point, what else do you recommend?
Call NAMNI. NAMNI has lots of resources that are available. Really get help.
Help is there. I guess if someone among our listeners has been thinking a lot about suicide lately, is there something you'd want to say to them?
You're not alone. Even when you feel alone, there's someone out there that wants to help. Reach out. Call 988. Text 741-741. Or call NAMNI. Just talk. It really will help you feel better and more together, knowing that you're not alone.
And that's if you feel like you can't talk to your friends and family first, I guess.
Exactly, yes.
Because you might already feel shut off from them for various reasons. Mary Beth Hansinger, president of NAMI Capital Region of New York, thank you so much for joining us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. This has been Kathy Silber.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. We'll be right back.
Really matters. little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo Figaro.
Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Will you let me go?
Bismillah!
No, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah!
We will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah!
We will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Never let me go!
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!
Mamma mia, let me go!
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me! For me! For me!
You can go there with your family, and you can meet new friends in the library. When you're at the library, you can read lots of books, and you can find any book. There are lots of Dog Man books, which are my favorite books of all. When I go to the library, I read them, and that's why I like the library.
I'm also on a radio show at the library, and there was also a video making workshop that I did, and I did some animation, and I made a lot of new friends.